Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're unpacking quite a stack of sources you shared, all focused on spiritual disciplines and how they shape character.
Right. Things like prayer, worship, integrity,
yeah,
even fasting.
Exactly. And we're looking at how these practices, which often feel very internal, you know, can actually have really tangible effects on daily life, maybe even at work.
Yeah, the goal is to pull out some practical wisdom, stuff you can actually use for personal growth without getting too bogged down in really dense theology.
Makes sense. It's pretty fascinating how these inner disciplines pop up again and again, not just historically, but even in modern research showing real-world benefits.
It really does make you wonder about the, well, the fundamental human needs they tap into, doesn't it?
Definitely. So let's kick things off with prayer. One source described it as spiritual breathing. I liked that, like a two-way connection.
Mm-hmm. And research sort of echoes that, right? This idea of spiritual communication with God, rooted in your worldview, shaping how you act.
And the Bible gives that ACTS framework, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. It seems very enduring. Why do you think that model sticks?
Well, I think maybe it's because it covers such a broad range of relating to the divine. You've got the reverence, the vulnerability, the gratitude, and then asking for help. It's all there.
Right.
And the early church, they were devoted to prayer. It highlights that principle, you know, lex orandi, lex credendi.
The law of prayer is the law of belief. How you pray reflects what you actually believe.
Exactly. And think about the promise tied to it, prayer transforming things when it aligns with God's will. Or Paul saying, pray without ceasing.
Which isn't about literally never stopping talking, is it? More like a posture.
Yeah, a posture of dependence, of constant awareness. Janus also talks about asking for wisdom in prayer without doubting. That's huge for decision making.
And historically, we see figures like Anthony the Great talking about inner silence, continual prayer.
Right, or Richard Foster on inward disciplines. And Dallas Willard had that interesting idea of prayer as a power sharing device.
Like joining in with God's work.
Precisely. So how do we make this practical today in our, you know, really busy lives?
Good question.
Well, the ACTS model itself is a structure. You could say journal through each part. Or use really short breath prayers like, Lord Jesus, have mercy during the day.
Prayer walks too, right? Focusing on specific things while you walk.
Yeah, focusing on Ephesians 1, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Or even corporate prayer. Maybe starting a meeting with a moment of silent petition for wisdom. How do you see that impacting, like, a team?
Well, it seems like building that habit could foster more reflection. Maybe less reactive decision making, more dependence.
I think so too. When leaders model that kind of reflective dependence, can create a more grounded, maybe more resilient team environment.
Okay, moving on to worship and thanksgiving. These feel linked, like actively noticing and responding to goodness.
They are twins in a way.
Yeah.
Worship is that soulful response. Thanksgiving is more intentional rejoicing. And neuroscience actually backs up the gratitude part, doesn't it?
Yeah, boosts in well-being, relational trust. Jesus talked about worship in spirit and truth. What does that mean practically?
Heartfelt devotion, but also grounded in, well, biblical understanding, not just emotion, not just intellect, but both. The songs are full of examples, corporate and personal.
And Hebrews talks about offering acceptable worship with reverence and awe. So it shapes our attitude, our actions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that call to give thanks in all circumstances, that's key. It's not just reacting to good things.
It's a proactive discipline.
Exactly. A way to cultivate Christ-likeness, fighting entitlement and anxiety. Corporate worship builds community. Personal worship nurtures intimacy. Both help fight burnout, I think.
So practical ways to cultivate this.
You could try maybe writing songs based on scripture or keeping a simple gratitude journal, maybe even sharing insights with someone or design a brief liturgy for the start of a workday or meeting.
Interesting. And the payoff could be things like higher job satisfaction, better team cohesion.
Yeah. And maybe even more creative problem solving when people feel appreciated and grounded. Leaders modeling humility helps too.
Okay, let's shift to integrity, specifically in our speech. Ephesians 4:29 talks about no corrupting talk, only what builds up.
That alignment of inner state and outer words is crucial for trust, isn't it?
Definitely. And James warns about the tongue being like a fire. Proverbs contrasts that with a gentle tongue being a tree of life.
It's powerful. And what's interesting is how some early monastics practice silence, hesychasm, partly to cultivate godly speech.
A discipline to speak better.
Right. And modern theory agrees transparent communication builds trust. So how do we get more intentional?
Good question. What are some exercises?
You could role play tough conversations, practicing that grace under fire, or maybe do a personal speech audit, look back at your words, see what could be rewritten.
An accountability partner could help there too.
Absolutely. Debriefing conversations, praying together about speaking truthfully and kindly. Think about customer service, or giving team feedback needs honesty, but also love.
Okay, what about the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience.
Ah, yes. Galatians 5. The key thing sources emphasize is that it's fruit, singular. It's a natural outflow of abiding in Christ, not just sheer willpower.
So not just trying harder to be patient.
Not primarily, no. Paul contrasts these with the works of the flesh. It's about character transformation, not just rule following. The fruit grows together synergistically.
And there's research on this.
Yeah. Regent University looked at leaders. Qualities like faithfulness, gentleness, patience were linked to better team performance, more trust. Kindness and goodness correlated with higher engagement, lower turnover.
Makes sense. So how do we, you know, cultivate it if it's not just willpower?
Well, things like a daily journal, maybe noting where you saw fruit or lacked it. Peer feedback circles, maybe small groups praying for each other's growth in specific areas. One source mentioned a 7-step plan with specific practices.
Like that example of the marketing team's kindness card system.
Exactly. Little things that encourage the practice, leading to shifts in perception and even creativity.
Finally, fasting and solitude. These are sometimes called disciplines of abstinence.
Right. They create space, essentially. Space to hear God's voice, perhaps.
Right.
And neuroscience is catching up, showing benefits for mental clarity, emotional regulation, stress reduction.
We see Jesus modeling both, right? Fasting in the desert, seeking solitude to pray.
Definitely. And the Psalms talk about being still, be still, and know that I am God. The Desert Fathers took this seriously with extended solitude and fasting. Even Benedictine rules included weekly fasts and silence.
What forms can this take today? It's not always about like a 40-day water fast.
Oh, absolutely not. There's the complete fast, sure, but also partial fasts, like the Daniel fast, or even just fasting from media, social media, news for a period. And solitude can be a short retreat or just an hour of quiet.
So practical steps?
You could try a 7-day Daniel fast, maybe journaling your experience,
yeah.
Or schedule a 24-hour solitude period, maybe focusing on scripture meditation, even finding a fasting coach or buddy for prayer support.
And organizations are using this too, like media Sabbaths.
Yeah, some teams are finding it improves well-being and focus.
Mm.
Executive retreats incorporating solitude can lead to strategic clarity and stronger relationships.
Wow. So wrapping this up, it feels like integrating these disciplines isn't just about, you know, religious observance. It's really about cultivating character.
Exactly. Character traits that ripple out into every part of life, our well-being, our relationships, even how effective we are professionally.
It's clearly a journey, not a quick fix, but even small steps matter.
Absolutely. Consistency over intensity, perhaps. These disciplines just offer practical pathways toward qualities like integrity, joy, peace. Qualities that benefit us and our communities.
So thinking back over our conversation, maybe consider which of these disciplines resonated most with you right now. Was it the ACTS model for prayer?
Or perhaps starting a simple gratitude journal. Or even just trying a short media fast for a day to clear some headspace.
It leads to a final thought for you to take away. What's one small, tangible step you could realistically take this week to explore one of these areas a bit further? Just see what happens.